Did you know your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car? It's true. The good news is you can help with Energy Star. The EPA urges you to take steps to reduce your home energy bills and make a big difference in the fight against air pollution. Visit EnergyStar.gov.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A few showers this evening with a mainly clear sky by early tomorrow. Thursday will start around 37 and cap off with a lot of sunshine at 59. Through tomorrow night, clear 39 and looking forward to close to 60, mainly sunny as we reach the weekend on Friday, and dry weather will persist under high pressure Saturday and Sunday.
Opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kim Kim. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob Kim Kim.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on a chilly little uptown Beckley Wednesday evening. It is Wednesday evening, another prayer meeting edition of Head On with me, Bob Kincaid. Your nightly confrontation with the facts. And for those of you listening over the air as opposed to listening on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com, you may have heard the cat-killing story arising in Wisconsin and being debated there right now. I had gotten a little bit of information via email about the thing itself. Question 62 is the proposal. And it asks whether the State Department of Natural Resources should define free-roaming feral domestic cats as an unprotected species so that hunters can go out and blow them away. Now, one emailer to me in this regard, Regina, wrote, "It'll probably get passed. It's a shame that feral cats will have to die when their killers are the reason they're in this situation. Too many kittens, not enough homes, and idiots that think at least if we just dump the cat, he'll have a chance, but if we take him to the Humane Society, they'll kill him. Probably will, but the animal will at least die with some dignity instead of on the highway or in some coyote's jaws. Before that happens, he will probably father two or three litters, and that will meet and those litters will meet a similar fate." She closes, "I hate people. We suck." And we kind of do, don't we? But speaking of coyotes, interesting remark noted in today's Chazgas. This issue of coyotes was brought up in a conversation between Agriculture Commissioner Gus Douglas and Finance Chairman Walt Helmick, Senate Finance Chairman Walt Helmick. He told Douglas that instead of spending $100,000 to study the coyote problem in West Virginia, that officials should pick 10 counties, trap 10 coyotes in each county, and tag them with numbers, and then release them and announce a $1,000 bounty to any hunter who kills a marked coyote. And Helmick said, "You think I'm joking, but I'm dead serious. There wouldn't be anything the color of a coyote left in the woods if you did that." There might be an element of truth to what he says. I don't know about you, but the coyote problem in this state is very real, at least as far as I can tell. And there was a time in this state when we put bounties on nuisance animals. Of course, the only problem with hunting the coyotes is that science has proven time and again that the harder you hunt them, the harder they breed. And so that doesn't really appear to be much of a solution. Maybe somebody needs to tell Mr. Helmick that. But you know, whatever. I'm with Regina on this. Cat hunting in Wisconsin? Are the deer are gone? I mean, well, I don't know. I don't know what kind of wildlife they've got in Wisconsin. I have never having been there. But I do know that it's rather disturbing. Now, meanwhile, we talked a little bit last evening about this English is the official language of West Virginia law. Wow. Law. And I've just been pondering the effects of it. Since English is the official language of West Virginia, does that mean that if some poor soul in desperate straits calls 911 speaking Spanish, that it doesn't behoove us to have anyone who speaks Spanish now? Is that what that means? I mean, this is a huge slap in the face at immigrant populations, people here, you know, legally. So is that what that's about? If somebody calls speaking Spanish to 911 and says my house is burning down, we have no obligation to be able to understand that. We can't. Does this? I don't know. I am not being facetious about this. Will this law now get in the way of West Virginia, spending money for someone who is maybe bilingual in an emergency dispatch center? Is that the mistake that we've made now? Is there some corner of America where now maybe some last few remnants of real Americans still speak one of those heathen Indian dialects? What? Cree, Pawnee, Shawnee, Cherokee, Sioux, the language of the Iroquois Confederation? Have we just said that they're not welcome in West Virginia because of this stupid law? This moron law? And we don't want to hear any Nahuatl or Quechua. And, you know, let's take it the next step. We don't want to hear any English spoken with the brogue of the Celts of the Emerald Isle or the tones of those bred at the burn of Bannock who speak like the Scots my forebears were. And we don't want to hear the tones of the Kentish or God knows from he who walks the hills and crags of Cardiff. Do you see how easy it is to make stupid, stupid laws? For no good reason. And then one other thing. This is somewhat unrelated. What am I talking about? It's completely unrelated. But I saw a blurb that just blew me away in a Social Security article in USA Today. This is the quote. A typical worker... The median American worker, according to the Census Bureau, is a 40-year-old female who earns $22,000 a year, and under the law as it now stands, she would retire at age 67 and would have a guaranteed monthly Social Security check of $933 before inflation, according to the Social Security Administration. Digest that for a second. She works for 49 years. And in exchange for those 49 years of work, if she makes it to 67 years old, we're going to give her $933 a month. You know what? We're screwed. We are absolutely screwed if we let George W. Bush rip that woman off. We're screwed if we hang on to what she's got right now. We're screwed because she's a worker, and we've ignored her since LBJ turned over the keys to the White House to that filthy freak Richard Nixon. During all the decades when we should have been making her future better, we've let a gang of Republicans abuse her. She's your mom. She's your sister. She's what's going to happen to your wife if you have the misfortune of dying before her. The Republicans have won again. They've won. They've convinced the American people that they're damned lucky to have what the Republicans don't want them to have. They're lucky to have anything at all. That typical woman is lucky to make that $22,000 a year. At the end of those 49 years, she was never worth more than the day she started. And we're fighting to keep her Social Security where it is. A nation with a shred of ethics and decency and morality would be asking why she doesn't get more for her years of work and service. instead of trying to keep it the same. But if we paid out more in Social Security and let people retire earlier, that'd be, what, communism, right? Oh, my aching back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
At the pump, your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment.
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles per the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles per the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck in the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
When disaster strikes,
and one volunteer for us.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
You are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Born with a rare birth defect, Elena had little chance of ever walking until her family found help and hope at a Shriners hospital. Today, Elena is an unstoppable six-year-old. Shriners combine expert orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care with world-class research and teaching programs, and there's never a charge. There's a Shriners hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids. You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on to Pop Kincaid.
Welcome back, 18 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On, and, the basic information. The local phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. That's WWNR. Funny how it works like that. And we stream live for you every night on the internet, as I mentioned, WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And through there, there is also a portal to my website, HeadOnRadio.com, where you can find a great deal of fun and fracassing and carrying on and argument and discussion and pretty lively business there. Jump on in, join up. There's no money involved. You just got to register. That's it. And jump in the sandbox there. It's very much like I once described it. It's like a West Virginia bar fight without the guns and knives. it gets pretty zany. So avail yourself of it and bring a little. You know, if you've never been there before, jump in there and bring a little fresh blood to the debate. Not like that. You know what I mean. Let's go to the phones right now. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Good. I hope you're not trying to initiate some type of tough man contest.
on the message boards, exactly.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, we won't go there.
I understand.
You know, though, you know, I love to see my name in lights.
Yeah. Well, you light them up pretty good, Jim.
Do I really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, that's the reason I do it, Bob.
Somebody, you know, somebody's got to be like, it's, you know, I think for our right wing nuts on the board, you're kind of like a stone in the shoe.
Well, that's exactly what I want to be.
Good man.
You know, that's exactly what I want to be. And every time they take a step, I want them to feel it.
Exactly.
You know, getting back to this thing with the feral cats in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
needless to say, I spent some time on the phone yesterday calling Washington. And there were a few ears that were filled. And first, let me tell you something. I have... I used to have to do a lot of traveling in Wisconsin between Vogt Field and Fort McCoy.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember as you would leave Fort McCoy going to the cross on Route 5, there was a public toilet there, and behind it was a dairy farm. And I had to use the facility. The farmer was out there with his cows, and you're not going to believe this, but it's true. He had COWS spray paint on each of his cows. And I walked over to the fence, and I said, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing?" And he got off his tractor, and they're friendly people up there. They really are.
Yeah.
By the way, they used to have a strip joint down the road there called the Pump and Pay. Anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
And that was in the basement. But anyway, so the farmer told me, he said, you know, these hunters come up from Chicago, and he said, I've actually lost livestock.
Slow elk.
And, you know, he said they don't know that. He said they come up here with these high-powered single-shot rifles. And, you know, and that's what I've done. And he has spray-painted on each of his dairy cattle COWS.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, I
bet. I could not make up that story if I had to.
Well, you know, and some of these NRA freaks, you know, I'm sure they would find the idea of hunting cows absolutely scintillating.
Well, you know, I am an allurophile, and of course that word alluros comes from the Greek Herodotus, because when he went to Egypt, he used the word alluros because the cats describing their tails.
You're right.
And every cat I've ever had has either been from one came from the shelter at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and the rest have been feral cats that I've adopted, and several of them have been pregnant. And I guess since I've been in Beckley, I've placed around 30 cats. And I know it's just a drop in the bucket, but it's all one man can do.
Well, they've got another program that other people, you know, sane people are advocating, and that is trap them, neuter them, and return them to their habitat.
Exactly, and that is a good thing. But I'll tell you, Bob, there are so many diseases out there now. And I understand we have a rabies epidemic up here in certain counties, and so many things have come into the stage of veterinary medicine in the past 30 years. I mean, you never heard of feline leukemia back in 1970. You never heard of feline AIDS in 1970. And there are so many things that are just absolutely dreadful. But I'll tell you, and I may have my emphasis on the wrong syllable or my feelings misplaced, but I have as much feelings for any of those poor creatures as I do any human being.
They're all part of creation, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, the last cat I had, my Mau Mau, which I told you about, that I took her in on the coldest night of 1998 during the blizzard. And that night she delivered 6 male kittens.
Hmm.
And so, you know, she was very special. And, of course, I lost her in December of last year.
Right.
Or January 3rd of this year. And, you know, I'm still not really over it. And, you know, I was her last throw of the dice.
Yeah.
And God sent that cat to me.
I have no doubt of it.
And, you know, I wish, you know, if I were to win the lottery, like what's his name did up there.
Yeah, Whitaker.
I would have a no-kill shelter, and I'll guarantee you there would be no cat in this county that would go hungry or whatever. And, you know, they're just very special creatures to me. And I cannot believe that when I popped up on the Internet and saw what they were going to do, of course, 79% of the people said no and 21 said yes. But how anybody would take pleasure in trying to kill something like that.
Oh, I know.
I just don't understand it. I mean, you know, there are certain things I can understand, and I have seen dead people. I have seen horrible things in my life, but this is something that is just something that it really causes me a lot of problems.
Well, I don't know if and again, it may not be sound policy, Jim. Just from a rational standpoint, if cats respond the way coyotes do, I mean, I mentioned it. It is a known fact that with coyotes, the harder you put hunting pressure on them, the more frequently they breed.
That is true.
And as a consequence of that, when you actively go out and go after that population, you wind up with a net gain as opposed to a net loss.
Well, you know, that's nature's way of protecting their, you know, population.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it's just amazing. If people would just sit back and think about how Mother Nature works and, you know, the systems of that govern the lives of not only animals, but also the systems that govern our ecosystems and things like that, these are extremely delicate things.
Yes.
And they just, you know, in my own personal view, they just weren't thrown together. There was some definitely very form of great intelligence and spiritual source that designed this blueprint upon which we live. And I really think that the grand architect of these things is not real happy with some of the stuff that's going on. I mentioned last night about some of the stuff in the ecosystem.
Right. Water.
And how you have water, salt water, surrounding what was fertile grazing ground, and oak trees are sticking out of it, just bare oak trees, dead.
Right.
And how the water has begun to, you know, encroach on the shores of this country. And also how the aquifers are being diminished and nothing is being done. And water is just being taken for granted. And yet you have a majority of the world's population. And I have a whole bunch of facts and figures, and I'm not going to bore you with those because people don't pay any attention to them anyway. But there are a lot of people in this world who, and more people than have, there are more have-nots as far as having access to just clean drinking water.
Yes.
And, you know, it is just absolutely incredible. The things, I don't know how many people die a day because of waterborne pathogens.
Oh,
it's in the thousands.
Certainly.
Over 30,000 a day. There was a program on PBS I mentioned last night, Night Before Last, narrated by Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very good program, and it was about, you know, our ecosystem and water particularly. And people worry about oil, and that's one thing they better worry about. And, you know, I guess I just really am at a loss to understand how people can be so cruel that they're going to destroy not only a God-given creature, but also everything that God has put here for us to enjoy. That is just beyond the thing.
There's a saying.
And we have an administration that says that no, this ain't happening.
Well, we have an administration that doesn't care whether it happens or not, Jim, for the simple reason that they think that if we pollute a little more, if we poison a little bit more, if we crowd the earth a little bit more, then somehow miraculously that's gonna be the phone call to God that sends Jesus back.
I don't know, good buddy, but listen, you're getting to the bottom of the hour. Could you carry me over for once?
Yeah, sure. I'll be happy to do that.
I appreciate it.
No trouble at all.
God bless you.
All right. Time for our bottom of the hour break, and we'll come back, finish up with Jim. And for those of you on hold, please stay with us and, well, see what happens. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
WWNR News. A Fayette County man will spend 2 to 10 years in prison for running a meth lab. Hugh Wexler of Charlton Heights pleaded guilty March 9th to running a clandestine lab from his father's home in Charlton Heights. Wexler was also fined $1,200 and charged with court costs and was ordered to pay for any costs that law enforcement agencies have incurred in cleaning up chemicals from the meth operation. A new business in Oak Hill gives pet owners another option in what to do with their deceased animals. Mountain View Pet Crematory opened Tuesday. It offers a wide range of cremation options and tasteful urns. Rick James and his wife, Elizabeth Moreau, started the business after Moreau's pet EMU died, and she decided to have it cremated. They say more pet owners are choosing the option of cremation, which has many benefits over traditional pet burial and other options. A Mercer County man charged with first-degree murder will await trial on home confinement. James Constantino of Athens is charged in connection with the shooting death of Pat Broman, also of Athens. Broman was found dead at Constantino's Unity Road home on April 3rd. On Tuesday, Circuit Judge Derek Swope granted Constantino a $100,000 bond on condition he immediately begin medical treatment in a Morgantown hospital. A lawyer for one of the men accused in the November 2002 kidnapping and death of 19-year-old Marshall student Samantha Burns says his client is not a murderer. John Bloom represents West Hamlin native Chadwick Folks, and he says Folks is not actually the person who killed Burns and South Carolina residents. Resident Alice Donovan. Folks and his co-defendant Brandon Basham have been sentenced to death in South Carolina for Donovan's murder, and federal prosecutors in West Virginia also plan to seek the death penalty for the murder of Samantha Burns. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Cloudy and chilly, temperatures mid-40s. Tonight a slight chance of showers early, then gradually clearing tonight and cooler with a low near 38. Tomorrow sunny, high 56, clear tomorrow night, low 35. Then for Friday, sunny with a high near 56. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. As the May 11th bankruptcy hearing for United Airlines looms, two unions representing United workers are trying to work with the airline to save worker pensions while keeping the company afloat. Workers are fed up with wage cuts and threats to destroy their defined benefit pension system. They're ready to strike if necessary. Joe Tiberi of the International Association of Machinists.
I've had enough. They're outraged with the an employer that provides bonuses to its officers while closing reservation centers and trying to attack pension, and they're not going to stand for it any longer. There are other options that can meet the needs of the carrier as well as the pension promises that they made to our members.
O.V. Delafemini, National Director of the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association, says his union, representing 6,500 mechanics, will deliver a proposal to United next week that achieves the $96 million in savings at once while saving the union contract from further drastic cuts. But his members have authorized a strike, and he says they're in a fight-back mood.
They're thoroughly disgusted, and quite frankly, at this time, I'm hoping to keep them from getting excited and do a strike.
Angelica Corporation is getting its dirty laundry aired. Angelica is a fast-growing company that provides laundry services to hospitals around the country, and its employees nationwide are preparing to strike. Melissa Berbelis, an employee at the Batavia, New York plant and a member of Unite Here, says the company continually violates labor laws and threatens the health and safety of workers.
Say if a machine breaks down, they would actually take gray duct tape to tape it up. And then when another worker goes on that same machine, he or she gets hurt.
Angelica workers handle laundry soiled with blood and feces, and yet employees say Angelica often doesn't provide the necessary vaccinations required to protect employees from disease. OSHA has done numerous investigations at Angelica plants, and the company faces penalties of up to $500,000. Employees at the Batavia plant have been working without a contract since February 19th. Berbelis sums up her feelings about what she hopes the strike will accomplish.
The unfair labor that they practice has got to stop, and we want a fair contract.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Some 7,300,000 workers in the U.S. earn the minimum wage of $5.15 an hour, according to the Economic Policy Institute. Adjusted for inflation, that's 26% lower today than in 1979. A 2005 study by the Institute found that if the minimum wage was increased, it would help not only those millions of workers, but another 8 million earning just above the minimum who would also get raises.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid and us.
Welcome back. Well, about 23 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock. And back to the phones. Jim had a thought he wanted to finish up with. Hey, Jim. You still with us?
Well, thank you. I appreciate your indulgence there.
No trouble.
But, I mean, as a postscript to the story about the cats, at least in my personal experience, each of those cats that I, you know, took in or they were born, they were all placed in good homes.
Good.
And, you know, that's one thing. And one other thing, we're talking about the ecosystem here and the irresponsibility of administrations toward, for example, the protection of natural resources, namely water. And I may have mentioned this to you before, but, you know, back in the 70s, there was a big no nukes movement.
Right.
And now there's the, you're from Alabama, correct?
I was born and raised there, yeah.
Okay, Nate, I'm sure you're familiar with the Tuscaloosa Aquifer,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
Well, that furnishes water to the entire southeast, okay, basically.
Yes.
Now, guess what they've got built right on top of that thing in the center of it.
Oh, a new plant.
Now, that is in a Class 3 earthquake zone.
Yeah, I know.
Now, Bob, can you imagine what would happen if, in fact, and don't tell me about how secure these plants are because they're not. We could have a Chernobyl here because when an earthquake, when Mother Nature decides to let one of those tectonic plates shift or whatever, nothing's going to withstand it, really. Could you imagine if that thing were to drain into that aquifer? What would happen?
Everybody dies. Everybody dies. That's as plain as can't get any simpler.
Well, or else we would have a place that would look like Chernobyl in the whole southeastern part of the United States.
Yeah.
Because, you know, right around Chernobyl today, there is a size of the Ukraine that is as large as the British Isles. It is virtually uninhabitable.
And will remain so for thousands of years.
I mean, the size of the British Isles, and I think that's, and, yeah, the size of the British Isles. Now, I don't know if that includes Ireland or not. But, I mean, that's an entire nation.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, these nuclear power plants, when they were built, they were only built to last 25 years.
Exactly. And it costs more to tear them down than it does to put them up.
You got it. And, you know, the thing about it is, if only we had been a little more responsible, and if only we had been, you know, a little better custodian of the natural resources that have been entrusted to us.
Well, if our progeny actually get to survive, Jim, there may come a time when they curse us.
Well, I certainly hope so. Oh, by the way, there's a postscript to your 911 thing about the second language.
Yeah.
From some of the horror stories I've been hearing on CNN about some of the responses that people have been getting who can speak English, it doesn't make any difference what language.
Yeah, I heard that one today, too. What do you want us to do? What do you want us to come and do? Shoot her?
Can you imagine that? I mean, who in the world would say such a thing? I mean, good Lord. I mean, it doesn't make any difference if you're speaking English, Esperanto, Pig Latin, or Romish. Or whatever, or Romish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care.
No, no, there's something hateful going on in this country, Jim. We're
coming from the top, Mr. Kincaid. That's
yes, it is.
Coming from.
We are scared to death. We are meant to be kept in a perpetual state of terror, and that terror state breeds terror breeds fear, and fear breeds hate.
And there's an element of frustration in there. People are unhappy. They feel like that they do not have control over their destiny. They feel like they're going to be shafted, just like the woman you were describing earlier with Social Security. And they feel like that it's going to be the attitude, hooray for me, into hell with you.
Yeah, doesn't that just blow your mind, Jim? The median worker in America is 40 years old and makes $22,000 a year. That's just astonishing to me.
My God, the poverty level in this town in 1996 was 19,000. Or that was the average wage in 1996 in Raleigh County.
But, you know, we've got a moral man in the White House, so we don't have to pay attention to any of that, right?
And his followers worship the god of mammon.
Oh, bow down every day. You know, it's the folding green holy communion. Hey, Jim,
they enjoy it now. Thank you, Bob.
Take care now. And let's see. Jose. Hey, Jose, you're head on. Jose.
Yeah, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm a coping and struggling here.
Well, you got to do it every day.
The lady that gets the 22.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something's wrong with the system.
Yeah, there's something desperately wrong here.
Y'all said the upper crust. And there's, no happiness, Jim just said, and the animal kingdom being mistreated.
And God's creation being just poisoned, burned, stomped, polluted, raped,
et cetera.
Yeah. And remember, Jose, it's all for money.
Yes.
It's about the money.
And that's wrong.
Yes, it is.
And since I've been raised up around here in the county, it's what I've seen dogs scalded.
Ugh.
I've seen dogs mistreated, hit with brooms, pregnant, and their offspring have crippled pups.
Mm.
This is, it's terrible.
Yes, it is.
And like y'all said, if they breed hate, they live it, people do.
Yes, they do. They do. And how do you break that cycle, though, Jose?
Well, people should be godly and read the Bible and love their neighbor. It's a simple formula, but they're not going to do that, Bob.
Why?
Well, it's the last days, and people are just... they're on a train, it's heading down the track, and they're hollering mutiny, and the bridge is out, and the officials are jumping off, and they're at their wits' end.
And there's no lifeboats.
No. It's sad, ain't it?
Yeah, it's tragic. And the thing is, it's all the more tragic for the people who don't live that way, because they're taking us with them.
Well, you know, you get around a big ship, and it goes in, starts sinking, it sucks everything down.
Absolutely. The good and the bad alike.
Yeah. But the Bible shows that there's going to be survivors of the Armageddon.
Yeah, but what worries me, Jose, is they're trying to make Armageddon happen.
Well, the humans are, but that there, see, Armageddon's not to be feared. It's not no battle over there in the Middle East. That's what they got now. They think over there, all these religions think that's where it's just going to be fought over there in the Bible lands, the Middle East. And Armageddon will be all over the earth. But God's people will survive, just like they survived the days of Noah.
Well, that's a different outlook than you get from most people, Jose.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, the majority don't look at it that way.
No, no, they don't.
So that's what we're up against. The many, it's going to go down on the big ship.
Exactly. Jose, thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you.
Jehovah bless.
And you as well, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Oh, sorry. Cherie. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm just fine. I have a question.
Okay.
Is Bill Frist out looking for more cats?
I didn't think of it that way.
Has he been searching and trying to figure this out?
Has Bill Frist been seen in Wisconsin?
I would like to know. You know, that's one of those things, because it amazes me that they're going to this length. Bast was revered in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reason. The cats kept away the vermin.
That carried the plague.
Exactly. And if you kill out the cats, then you're going to have vermin. So, I mean, you know, are they wanting rats?
Oh, some of these people may be rats, Cherie.
Well, see, I'm an animal lover.
I know.
I love animals more than I do people.
Well, there's a lot more. With the so-called lower animals, sometimes there's a lot more to recommend them than there are people.
Well, I have a beautiful Bengal cat, and I don't own her. I think she owns me.
Well, yeah, I've always had the opinion that, you know, you don't get a cat gets you.
Precisely. They're independent, they're beautiful, they're sensual, and to want to kill something that takes care of you is horrendous. I mean, what are they going to do next? Go boil some bunnies in some pots? Oh, I'm sorry, they already do that. That's roadkill.
Oh, I know.
But it's sad to see that it's coming down to where they're wanting to annihilate. They say it's feral cats, but what it comes down to is, oh, well, you know, I have a cat, and I really don't want it, so I can kill it. It's legal.
Well, but there are house cats. You know, this would apply to any cat that does not have a collar or a tag.
Well, who says that cat's going to have a collar and a tag after they kill it?
Well, sure.
You know, it's just open season. And what's going to come next?
You know, house cats sometimes slip between your feet as you're opening the door to go in or come in or go out.
Oh, I know that so well.
And the minute under this Wisconsin proposal, the minute that Kitty gets out, Kitty's fair game.
Exactly. I mean, it's not, you know, it's bad enough. The dogs chase the cats.
Well, that's their job.
Well, so what are they going to start doing, using the dogs to hunt the cats down and treat them like they do coons?
Well, you know, give the National Rifle Association a chance, and I'm sure they'll probably work that in.
Well, see, I love my gun. I really do.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you...
But I don't go out and hunt things with it. It's for protection.
Precisely.
And I have hunted in the past, and it's been only for food. I have been deer hunting, but I don't like to do it. I don't like to kill anything. And I just, the madness, you know, Jethro's got it. He really does.
It's madness, I tell you.
It's madness. And I seriously wonder who, you know, brought this up.
Oh.
Bill Frist comes to mind. You know, the guy's doing some kind of diabolical little...
He's got a thing for cats, and for those who don't know, the Senate Majority Leader, that fine, good, godly, upstanding Republican man, confessed. I mean, this is out of his own mouth. You know, this isn't something that the weirdo liberals made up. He confessed of his own volition that when he was in medical school at Harvard, he would go to humane societies and adopt cats and take them home and dissect them.
What I want to know is what... He's not a veterinarian.
No.
I'm coming to think that he's closer to a vet than he is a doctor. But, and actually that was an insult on the vets.
Yeah, well, yeah. What kind of doctor is he that can diagnose people on videotape?
Well, dissecting a cat doesn't help you with a human. That's what they have cadavers for. And so what did he do? Skip that class and
Cherie, he's a Republican. It was about the killing of things. That's what they do.
That's,
death
that's
is their gig.
That's a mental illness.
Bingo. Yep.
You know, mutilation of animals.
Crazy, bloodthirsty, Republican. What, shall we do some more synonyms?
Yeah, but we had John Ashcroft, too. So, I mean, you know, what can you say? The guy anoints himself with Crisco.
And has calico cats rounded up.
Pretty much, because there. See, it's a conspiracy. There you go.
What can you
They're
say?
They're afraid of cats. I'm shocked.
And I guess the Broadway musical to them is like a horror show. Well
watch. They'll get it passed in Wisconsin, and
then we'll decide. Maybe we'll decide it's a wonderful idea here too.
Well, it'll.
Because that's
a fad.
Because you got to remember, those guys that want to hunt the cats, they're sportsmen.
There are people who pay to hunt endangered species.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You know, so bald eagle tastes like chicken? I mean, you know, what? I haven't had a bald eagle lately, but it's that kind of thing, and it's strange. And I can't see where anyone would get behind something like this. I understand that the population needs to be controlled, and usually nature will, you know, take its course,
mm-hmm.
like here in West Virginia. We don't have no rattlesnakes. Yes, we have rattlesnakes. We have coyotes. We have bobcats.
Well, there are some that say we have mountain lions, although the DNR won't come around on that one.
Well, do you think they're going to admit to it?
Well,
you know,
not after they parachuted them in.
He's off your baby.
Oh.
I was just kidding.
I know,
it's
I know.
It's the tsetse fly thing. I had to call in on that.
That's a pretty sharp observation, Cherie. That's a pretty sharp observation indeed. Where, you know, has Bill Frist been seen in the state of Wisconsin?
Oh, I'm wondering. I think you've got some cheese going on.
Thanks so much, Cherie.
Thank you, and have a good evening.
You too. Take
Bye.
Care. And rolling right along, Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
What's going on?
What's next for Bill Frist? Long distance phrenology?
Oh, God.
You know. Hold your head to the phone, and I'll fill your lumps.
One lump or two? I love my Warner Brothers cartoon.
Three or four. You asked me a while back about some statistics on AIDS, and I wanted to give you to you.
Okay.
All right. At present, this is from the CBC, over 50 million people have been infected with HIV. At least 18 million people have died from AIDS. In some countries, particularly those in southern Africa, between 20 and 30% of adults aged 15 to 49 are infected with HIV. 16,000 become infected with HIV every day. 1 million babies were born infected with HIV last year. 13 million children have been orphaned as a result of AIDS. In 10 years, the UN estimates that the figure will rise to 40 million children. Now, what are we doing to stop this?
That would be nothing.
That would be nothing.
And again, most of this is in Africa, so, you know, what do we care? If it was white people, it would be a problem.
And if they had cats there, hey. You know
I
what
know.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
We introduce the species over there. We get all the NRA guys over there. Then we close the borders like the NRA people want to close the borders, but we do it in another place.
Yeah, close them in. Keep us safe.
Yeah. Like Al Haig said, you know, let's just all put them on an island somewhere. But talking about conservation, about what happens when that gets in the water,
mm-hmm.
that happens all the time. The corporate, there's been tons. I remember listening to a broadcast one time, and there were activists protesting the Hershey's plant in Pennsylvania, and they were saying just how much of their garbage and all kind of stuff that they were dumping in the river, and they are standing there, and like, you know, they had video of it. They tried to get news crews to come and film it. You could just see it.
Yeah.
Going into the water, and of course, They're a corporation. You can't be doing that.
I know.
You can't be accusing these people of this.
Chris, if you want to see some horrifying stuff, and I don't have a direct link or anything, go wandering around on the internet and get some pictures of the Martin County, Kentucky mine blowout from a few years ago.
Okay.
That's what happened. That's when a mountain collapsed and blew out all the poison water all over Martin County, Kentucky. Fouled rivers, buried homes.
Like a geyser.
I forget. You know, one of our Coal River Mountain Watch friends can probably remind me. I think maybe a $10,000 or $15,000 fine was levied against the coal company.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what, Libby, Montana was enough to almost make me pass out.
How so?
It's just, look, this is a terrible area. All these people are going to die. They're dying. It's terrible.
Yeah.
In other stories today.
Right, I know. Yeah, that entire town was poisoned.
Yeah.
And the factual basis underneath the movie and book A Civil Action.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where W.R. Grace, interestingly enough, a significant Bush donor, W.R. Grace poisoned and caused cancer in an entire community.
Hmm.
And got away with it.
Yeah. I noticed Chris on TV today trying to compliment the Democrats for keeping the rhetoric up. You know, this guy's
he's trying so hard to be presidential, isn't he, Chris?
He's getting even more creepy. And somewhere Jeb Bush is sitting on his high chair going, but.
Yeah, I know. These guys, and Tom DeLay has decided that Republicans need to describe his ethical lapses, shall we call them, as Democratic attacks on his good name.
I went to, there was a thing on Drudge Report today, and I went to their website, Democracy America, the group that Dean started.
Yeah.
They're trying to come up with slogans for a billboard in DeLay's home city, and I contributed mine. Don't delay. Tom needs to go away.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that'll win.
Hey, Chris, we got to roll on news time.
Take care, Bob.
All right, thanks. Thanks a lot. And like I said, when we get back, maybe a little update from the fine folks at the American Family Association. You're going to love this one. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who's gone?
Hello?
My name is Sanjay Kumar. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ed Council, and LCCREF.
They lived happily ever after.
Another story.
Gianna, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in a land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
They'll know how much you care. See,
that was such a good story.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. In the Pentos, Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley, 18 o'clock.
Did you know your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car? It's true. The good news is you can help with Energy Star. The EPA urges you to take steps to reduce your home energy bills and make a big difference in the fight against air pollution. Visit EnergyStar.gov.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A few showers this evening with a mainly clear sky by early tomorrow. Thursday will start around 37 and cap off with a lot of sunshine at 59. Through tomorrow night, clear 39 and looking forward to close to 60, mainly sunny as we reach the weekend on Friday. And dry weather will persist under high pressure Saturday and Sunday.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, hour number two, this prayer meeting edition of Head-On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I promised you a little update on good, upstanding, godly, Republican, Christian, so-called, Donald Wildman. Of course, we understand these people aren't Christians. There is no way that if Christ got a chance to see one of these freaks like Donald Wildman that he would say, "Oh yeah, you're definitely one of my fun." No. I've said that they're bloodthirsty, and they are. And you know, these people that believe that most of these people, the Robertsons, the Falwells, they hope to be around so that someday they get to put the Jews to the sword. And you can go to Media Matters for America and, search under Donald Wildman or Don Wildman. In the March issue of American Family Association Journal, the American Family Association, by the way, claims to have a membership of about 2,248,910. So it's not like there's a lot of these hateful killers. In the March issue of the Journal, the American Family Association, a fellow named Randall Murphy has published a piece where he says that a Jewish upbringing leads to hatred of Christians. A Jewish upbringing leads to hatred of Christians. First of all, that someone writing for the American Family Association would have the nerve to try to define what a Christian is pretty disgusting in its own right. But did call me crazy. A little history here. The pogroms across Eastern Europe. That was when the Jews went on a rampage and killed all the Christians, right? Thanks for playing. No, wrong. That's when the Christians went on a rampage and killed killed as many Jews as they could get their hands on. And during the Middle Ages, the Christians were accused of poisoning wells and sacrificing babies. No, sorry, that was the Jews being accused of that by the Christians. So here's how upstanding, good, godly Republican Randall Murphy describes a Jewish upbringing. He says it leads to hatred of Christians, and because it leads to a hatred of Christians, it therefore leads to a criminal lifestyle. Okie dokie. Meanwhile, it took some digging, but and I appreciate Chris's help on this. He's a little closer down there and was able to find out some stuff for us. The pedophile youth minister in Albertville, Alabama, that was arrested for sexual abuse and sodomy on children in the church. The sheriff would not release the name of the congregation. It took a while. And by virtue of the fact that the sheriff went on this anti-Catholic tirade when I chatted with him, I knew it wouldn't be a Catholic church. No, no. Wasn't a Methodist church. Nope. Wasn't a Presbyterian church. Wasn't a Lutheran church. I don't even know if they allow Lutherans in Alabama. It was the High Point. Work with me here. Wait for it. Here it comes. The High Point Baptist Church, where the kiddie diddling took place. But I gotta wonder why the sheriff down there wanted to suppress that information. Maybe because it was his church? Nah, he wouldn't do something like that, would no. So if you put that together with what this Randall Murphy freak says, that kitty diddler must have been, what, a Jew? Because he was living a criminal lifestyle, and he was, he obviously was doing violence to Christian children, right? See, it doesn't compute, does it? Now, here's what he said, this Murphy cretin. The Athens, Ohio man grew up in a Jewish home and developed a hostile attitude toward Christ. As a teenager, he used drugs, sold drugs, and accumulated quite a juvenile crime record. But after a high school friend persistently witnessed to him, Keith accepted Christ during his junior year in high school. Now, you'll notice there's no explanation for the hostile attitude toward Christ in there, except for the fact that he had a Jewish upbringing. And the drug use and the drug dealing and the law breaking also goes unexplained, except for the fact that he was hostile toward Christ. Can you make this work? I can't make this work. He's a Jew, therefore he's hostile toward Christ, therefore he smokes crack. Huh? What, Edith? This is amazing, but you would think in the 21st century this was amazing. This isn't amazing. This is what they are. They profess to follow a dead Jew and then turn around. Well, you see, he had hostility toward Christ, and that's why he was into crime. Because he's a Jew. Oh, and this isn't their first foray at the American Family Association. No, 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 no. And remember, the American Family Association, they hate the queers, too. And they're not real crazy about the brown people. But, let's see, 1989, January 1989 article, What Hollywood Believes and Wants. Oh, here comes that old stereotype. The television elite are highly secular, the majority, 59%, in the Jewish faith. Then in a later article, this freak Wildman, the article is called Anti-Semitism Called a Serious Problem. Wildman says, Jews favor homosexual rights more than other Americans. I can't even parse that grammatically. I guess it might be time to declare English the official language of Donald Wildman so we can sit him down in a couple of grammar classes. A number of Jewish organizations have rather vociferously denounced Wildman, the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Congress. There's another just incredibly anti-Semitic And that's not even a fair word. It's not anti-Semitic. It's anti-Jew. Because if you're anti-Semitic, you have to hate all Semites. This is anti-Jew. Let's be specific. The Liberty Lobby. They hate them some Jews. The Liberty Lobby does. And Wildman was featured in The Spotlight, which the Liberty Lobby publishes. And this is the disgusting part. Time after time after time after time after time, ABC, CNN's Crossfire, Meet the Press, The Today Show, Good Morning America, Nightline. They all have this monstrous creep on and give him the patina of normalcy when he is just a plain old-fashioned, unreconstructed, race-baiting, sick bigot hiding once again, like so many of them do so often, hiding behind the cross. And, you know, you're more than welcome to tune in if you want to denounce this man. If you consider yourself a Christian and you're willing to denounce this man, I'd like to hear it. Because, you know what, that's one of the problems in this country. Our silence can be marked as our acceptance. And I won't be silent about the likes of this guy. There goes Bob persecuting them poor Christians. This man is not a Christian, okay? This man has about as much to do with Christianity as a hog does with a Sunday suit. There is nothing of the message of Christ in the message of Donald Wildman. But if you dare denounce him, the lines are open. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. And remember, your silence is your affirmation. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, where'd you get the flip phone?
A cellular one for my birthday, finally.
Cool, what else I got?
Well, it's a camera phone, so I can take pictures and send them to people. See, here you are. And I can program it for your picture to come up when you call and give you your own ringtone.
Oh, I feel so special.
Listen. Check it out. There's text messaging, too. But you know what I like best? I can hook up to the web and check out all the scores.
Geez, I didn't know that was important.
Well, sure it is.
Right now, get 2 free months of unlimited picture messaging with new Cellular One service, plus $10 off any camera phone in stock. And with Cellular One, you can use your cooler new phone in more places than with any other carrier in the region. But of course, you already knew that. Whose ring would that be?
Nobody.
Cellular One, we're here for you.
At Bruce's Carpet Care, we treat your carpet like dirt. That's why we clean it with such care. We move your furniture and put it back. We give free estimates. We never miss appointments. And we're offering a spring special. 4 rooms and Scotch guard for just $99. We have 3 trucks to serve you better. We've got the most advanced equipment. And we're very professional. But to be honest, we're going to treat your carpet like dirt and clean it accordingly. Bruce's Carpet Care. 253-3419. 253-3419.
Friday, April 20th. A who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development, Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
Here's Bob KK on the card.
Didn't hurt a bit, did it? Yeah, 19 minutes after 8 o'clock. And it's not, you see, the Donald Wildman thing is a symptom of a much greater disease. You know what I mean? Because these people think they have the bit in their teeth now. These people who would joyfully kill in the name of Yeshua, the Palestinian carpenter. These people who would bring about death and destruction and hell and damnation, thinking they were doing it for him. And you know what went down? I think Dr. Bill talked about it a little bit this afternoon, didn't he? Jesse? This meeting last week where, who was it? I can't remember the name now. This Bushevik, this Christian Bushevik, standing up quoting Stalin, no problem, no man, no problem. These creepy, evil people are out there actively advocating the murder of judges. Actively advocating the murder of judges. Can you imagine if someone on my side of the political fence did something like that? There would be helicopters over the house, SWAT teams, black uniforms, and that whoever did it would get tackled faster than that poor mentally impaired Chinese guy did on the steps of the Capitol the other day. And never be heard from again. But if you're a right winger, you can advocate. It's growing and growing and growing. What was it, a year or so ago that Pat Robertson was out there telling people to pray for Supreme Court justices to die? Yeah, that happened. And a couple of weeks ago, Tom DeLay threatening judges, followed up by John Cornyn. What are they putting in the water in Texas? Followed up by John Cornyn saying that he understood why people would do violence to judges, more or less approving of it. And then this freak whose name I can't remember at this point, quoting Stalin, encouraging people to bump off judges. And then, of course, there's our old buddy, James Dobson, the wildly, virulently homophobic, probably latent case, because after all, he did settle a case with a guy who said he was Dobson's lover. April 11th, on his radio broadcast, Focus on the Family, James Dobson got into the act, too. I mean, when it comes to hate, these religio-Nazis, they really do try to one-up each other. He had this nasty human being named Mark Levin on his program, and Mark Levin is the author of a book called Men in Black, How the Supreme Court is Destroying America. The foreword, of course, is by America's favorite oxymoron, Flush Flimbaugh. So Mark Levin's on the show with James Dobson. And here's what James Dobson said.
I heard a minister the other day talking about the great injustice and evil of the men in white robes, the Ku Klux Klan, that roamed the country in the South, and they did great wrong to civil rights and to morality. And now we have black-robed men, and that's what you're talking about. So now, in the eyes of these killers, they're killers. Well, they're not just killers. They're kitty diddlers. They're rapists. They're mass murderers. These killer Republican religious Taliban, American Taliban, so-called Christians, has now decided that our judges are the Klan. Now, this is funny and ironic on about 19 dozen different levels. The idea that this guy who, James Dobson, who scared to death of black people, belongs to a party that is the refuge for Southern bigotry, and he wants to compare judges to the Klan. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen Ruth Bader Ginsburg out riding the night and lynching black people lately. Have you? No, you haven't. Arguably, Tony Scalia would like to if he got the chance, being as how he's part of Opus Dei, which is it's the KKK for Catholics. Really, it is. It's a bizarre, you know, they beat themselves, they make themselves bleed. But even fat Tony Scalia, though he might like to, hasn't been seen out playing Knight Rider. But something is going to have to happen in America, and I don't know what that something is.
We just talk about these things. We have got to stand up and resist these people who would bring... I mean, these people are advocating civil war. Yes, they are. When you start advocating the assassination of our political leaders, I mean, my God, I wouldn't throw a warm bucket of spit on George Bush if he was on fire. But I wouldn't set the fire either. I intend the man no... I despise him. I loathe every breath he takes. But I want no harm to come to him. Do you see the difference? I wanted George Bush removed from office by the time-tested tradition that we have here in America. You know, the ballot box. That's what makes us special. Our ability to change power without having to shoot at each other. If we could get a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate, heaven knows I'd like to see that bloody, murderous little pimp for death occupying my White House. I'd love to see him impeached and removed from office, again, by a legal manner. But I don't want... And it's not just because it's against the law. It is against my fundamental principles of humanity. You know, I don't want the Ten Commandments posted everywhere you turn your head. Because if you believe in that thing, in that sort of thing, it's already graven where it matters most. It's graven on your heart. And thou shalt not kill, as explained to me by those sweet little blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church where I grew up. Well, it seemed right and decent and pretty much the way to get through life. But not to these people who profess their Christianity. No man, no problem. They are a danger, these people who hide behind the cross and wrap themselves in the shrouds of Christ at the same time that they advocate murder and assassination and political mayhem. They must be resisted, and you and I are the ones who have to do the resisting. They're funny. It's okay to laugh at them. They're pitiful, in a way, in their hate. But they are absolutely dangerous, and they must be beaten back before terminal damage is done to Mr. Jefferson's bold little experiment. Or would we rather just see what's on sale at Walmart and go shopping? I don't know. And now we have black-robed men. That's what you're talking about. Now the Supreme Court is destroying America. Funny. I don't know. I don't like Tony Scalia. I don't like William Rehnquist. I don't like the Slappy Thomas. Don't want him killed. I'm not even doing what Pat Robertson does. I'm not even sitting here actively praying for God to strike them dead. I don't figure God listens to that kind of prayer. But I don't think they've quite managed those three evil men. They're evil. I don't think those three evil men have managed to destroy America yet. Now, I look around America, and what I see destroying America is poverty, hunger, the deliberate destruction and starvation of our government, war. That's not good for a country. Somehow I don't, what they're upset about, these right-wing, oh, golly Moses, yeah, they're weirdos, they're creeps, they're fascists and fanatics. Kool-Aid drinking, strychnine guzzling, snake handling, rolling on the floor, bizarros. And they think America's going to hell because Terry Schiavo got to go home to be with God. They think America's going to hell because a Republican activist, yeah, it happened. A Republican activist ran off to Massachusetts and married his boyfriend. Yeah, it's not about the hunger. It's not about the corporate greed fest that this administration has just turned loose in this country. It is not about the economic nightmare of medical disaster that stalks this land like the Grim Reaper. No, none of that matters. It's all about the faggots. And we sit back and we look at them and we go, oh, well, you know, they certainly are weird. What a bunch of intolerant fascists. Ah, I'm glad I don't know any of them. And we think it's okay to be... Your silence is your accession. Isn't it? Bottom of the hour break time. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Supporters of Raleigh County's alternative schools spoke last night in an attempt to keep the facility open. The Raleigh County Board of Education has suggested closing that school to save operating costs. Students would be offered classes in the evenings at middle and high schools they would normally attend. But alternative school teacher Carolyn Gaynor says not having the school would cost the county more.
For every 150 dropout students, the cost of society is $2.17 million. It costs just $1.5 million to educate these same 150 students in an alternative center. Dr. Hutchins has indicated that cost should not be the overriding factor in coming up with an efficient and effective alternative education plan. In light of findings by Grant, we feel that we are bargaining for Raleigh County. Educating 2% of the student population with 1% of the budget.
The board took no action on the issue because it was not on the agenda, but board members say there are currently no plans to close the alternative school. A Mercer County teen who pleaded guilty to killing her father was sentenced this afternoon. Earlier this year, 14-year-old Kayla LaSala pleaded guilty to murdering her father in February of 2004. Investigators say Fred LaSala was stabbed more than 100 times. Kayla LaSala was arrested after authorities found inconsistencies in her statements. A plan to reimburse counties and cities 10 to 12% of their annual regional jail bill will debut a year early starting in October. Steve Canterbury, executive director of the Regional Jail and Correction Facility, says the plan was moved up because a regional jail near Elkins is scheduled to open in June, about 6 months ahead of schedule. That's the news. Here's the forecast this evening and tonight. Slight chance of showers, then mostly cloudy the rest of the night. Clearing later tonight and chilly, low around 40. Tomorrow sunny with a high near 56, and for Friday sunny with a high again near 56. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
It's good to know that our Congress critters are not completely obtuse about the needs of their constituents. Take Senator Richard Shelby. The Alabama Republican gets almost misty-eyed as he talks about the need to provide some relief for an especially aggrieved group of Americans. Corporate executives. It seems that many CEOs have come to him with sad sagas of having to cope with legislation that Shelby himself voted for, the Sarbanes-Oxley Corporate Corruption Law. This act was Congress's response to the Enron-style scandals that were front-page news back in 2002.
So the Sarbanes-Oxley Act imposed some rather modest accounting provisions on CEOs to make it slightly more difficult for them to engage in self-enrichment at the expense of employees, retirees, shareholders, and the general public. The Senate approved the bill 97-0. But only 3 years later, even though the corporate scams continue, the corruption no longer makes the front page, and CEOs have been swarming lawmakers with complaints that the anti-corruption law is too restrictive and unnecessary burden that crimps the style of the captains of industry. Now, prepare to be shocked. Since passing the 2002 law, senators like Shelby have gleefully cashed beaucoup campaign contribution checks from these CEOs and their lobbyists, and apparently the checks have softened their hearts. Shelby recently declared that the Sarbanes-Oxley law may have reached too far, and he is scheduling hearings this year on how to relieve the burden on CEOs. Meanwhile, Shelby and a majority of the Senate have already voted to let CEOs grab multi-million-dollar golden parachutes as their corporations plummet into bankruptcy, even as their employees and retirees are left totally unprotected, and to allow a millionaire's loophole so CEOs can shelter their assets from lenders in a bankruptcy case. This is Jim Hightower saying, don't you wish that Shelby cared as much about your pain as he does for CEOs?
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from a magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickles on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Yeah, about 21 minutes before 9 o'clock, about halfway through tonight. Now, this is a little triptych of stories. And you might think they are rather disparate, but I promise you they come together. The first from The Guardian in the UK. From time to time, they have commentary from former Python, Terry Jones, a very funny man. We don't have Mr. Jones with us, so I'll share it with you. The name of the column is Let Them Eat Bombs. I'm going to read this in its entirety because it's good. Subhead, the doubling of child malnutrition in Iraq is baffling. Do you remember us talking about that? Under Saddam, children, there was about 4% infant malnutrition in Iraq. Thanks to George Bush, it's now 8. He's a good man. He's got moral values, Bob. I wish you'd lay off him. Well, here's what Mr. Jones has to say on the issue. A report to the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva has concluded that Iraqi children were actually better off under Saddam Hussein than they are now. This, of course, comes as a bitter blow for all those of us who, like George Bush and Tony Blair, honestly believe that children thrive best when we drop bombs on them from a great height, destroy their cities, blow up hospitals, schools, and power stations. It now appears that, far from improving the quality of life for Iraqi youngsters, the U.S.-led military assault on Iraq has inexplicably doubled the number of children under 5 suffering from malnutrition. Under Saddam, about 4% of children under 5 were going hungry, whereas by the end of last year, almost 8% were suffering. These results are even more disheartening for those of us in the Department of Making Things Better for Children in the Middle East by Military Force. since the previous attempts by Britain and America to improve the lot of Iraqi children also proved disappointing. For example, the policy of applying the most draconian sanctions in living memory totally failed to improve conditions. After they were imposed in 1990, the number of children under five who died increased by a factor of six. By 1995, something like 500,000 Iraqi children were dead as a result of our efforts to help them. A year later, Madeleine Albright, then U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, tried to put a brave face on it when a TV interviewer remarked that more children had died in Iraq through sanctions than were killed in Hiroshima. Mrs. Albright famously replied,
"We think the price is worth it."
But clearly, George Bush didn't, so he hit on the idea of bombing them instead. And not just bombing, but capturing and torturing their fathers, humiliating their mothers, shooting at them from roadblocks. But none of it seems to do any good. Iraqi children simply refuse to be better nourished, healthier, and less inclined to die. It is truly baffling. And this is why we at the department are appealing to you, the general public, for ideas. If you can think of any other military techniques that we have so far failed to apply to the children of Iraq, please let us know as a matter of urgency. We assure you that under our present leadership, there is no limit to the amount of money we are prepared to invest in a military solution to the problems of Iraqi children. In the UK, there may now be 3.6 million children living below the poverty line and 12.9 million in the US, with no prospect of either government finding any cash to change that. But surely this is a price worth paying if it means that George Bush and Tony Blair can make any amount of money available for bombs, shells, and bullets to improve the lives of Iraqi kids. You know it makes sense. That's satire. But the thing is, in the hallowed halls of the Bush administration, it passes for foreign policy. What a line. This, of course, comes as a bitter blow for all those of us who, like George Bush and Tony Blair, honestly believe that children thrive best when we drop bombs on them from a great height, destroy their cities, and blow up hospitals, schools, and power stations. We did that, you know. Yes, we did that. And there are people that think, listen to the Savage Wiener. We need to send in the bees, you know, the bees, the B-1s, the B-52s, and drop bombs all over their cities. We need... It amazes me that someone that... Again, it's further proof of my earlier thesis. If as long as it's a right-wing Republican, you can advocate all the murder and death you want. This man remains on the air at this station, even though he advocates dropping nuclear devices on non-combatants. It amazes me. Further, it's still even more amazing still is the fact that there are people within the range of my voice who say, "Yeah, I think we ought to drop an atomic bomb on Iraq." These people with these sore hands from walking on their knuckles. There's that. And so now that we do know that we have doubled the childhood malnutrition rate in Iraq, can we put away that stupid old canard about, "Well, we might have gone to war for the wrong reasons, but at least we got rid of Saddam, and the Iraqi people are better off now without Saddam." Tell that to the under 5-year-old crowd. 4% of whom used to be malnourished under Saddam, 8% of whom are malnourished now under St. George. So please don't ever hear one of these right-wing freakazoids when they say, "Iraq is better without Saddam Hussein." No, not necessarily. You know, with the sanctions through the 90s, we killed more Iraqi children than Saddam killed.
Saddam gassed his own people.
Now, what about them mass graves? Oh, the ones that weren't found? Yep, right. Saddam's no match for us. We can kill Iraq. We kill Iraqis a lot better than he did. So, once again, another stupid, right-wing, ignorant, moronic, foolish, hateful, bloodthirsty little theory down the toilet with the rest of their brains. So there's that. Now, moving on. Article by Greg Palast, and a very good one at that. Talking about the Wiley brothers. You don't know who the Wiley brothers are. You're about to. Charles and Sam Wiley are, of course, Texans. And they've been caught stealing. They're thieves. They ripped off their shareholders. It's what they do. They're corporate criminals. I mean, fish got to swim, birds got to fly. Republican corporate crooks got to steal. Well, they're not just corporate criminals. They've confessed to concealing half of their holdings in one of their company's Michael's stores. The grand jury hasn't yet returned an indictment, but they have apparently confessed. The billionaires, the Wileys. And as Greg Palast notes, they are pioneers. No, not the Little House on the Prairie type. These are pioneers, the people who were able to raise over $100,000 back during George W. Bomb the Beasts and Children first presidential run. Sam Wiley cranked out something better than $250,000 for the Republican National Committee in 2000. The Wileys saved George Bush's miserable hide in 2000 when John McCain was giving him a righteous whipping at the beginning. They secretly put up $2.5 million for the smear campaign that was run in South Carolina. You know, the smear campaign where people called Republican voters and voters all over South Carolina and said, "Did you know that John McCain has a black baby?" "Uh-huh, he sure does." That smear campaign. Well, the Wileys paid for it. They've been busted. And lo and behold, when he was governor of Texas, George Bush signed off on an electricity deregulation bill. And that was part of the whole Enron scandal. And guess who owned one of the power trading companies? The Wiley brothers. And now they're turning over their loot to the Michael's stores chain. But what they haven't turned over is all the other dirty stuff that they've stored at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And Greg Palast writes, "Okay now, Mr. President, give it back. The millions stuffed in the pockets of the Republican campaign kitty, filched from Enron retirees and the suckers in the stock market who didn't have the inside track like the Wileys." That soundbite's out there, yeah. Well, here we are among the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the rich. I call you my base. And so there's that. But wait, it gets better. It truly, honestly does. This from a couple of former Cornell University entomologists. Those are people who study bugs. Some of you may recall that there is a living creature thing called a slime mold. You've heard of slime molds, right? And, of course, in the grand scheme of things, in the chain of things get eaten by other things that then eat the circle of life, yeah. Well, there are bugs, beetles to be precise. There are beetles who that which eat slime mold. They subsist on slime. And two former Cornell University entomologists had the job of naming 65 newly discovered species of slime mold beetles. Little bugs, creepy crawly things that exist on eating slime mold. And the first word of the new species is its genus, from the Latin gens, genus, family, gens, gentis. It's genus. And the genus for these slime mold beetles is, of course, Agathidium. Agathidium. Now, the two scientists' names who named them are Doctors Miller and Wheeler. And that goes at the end of the name of the bug. And that is the name of the person or persons who first described the species. Now, what does this have to do with George Bush hanging out with slime that rips off investors? Slime that steals? What does this have to do with the kind of slime that doubles the malnutrition rate in Iraq from what it was under Saddam Hussein? Well, out of they named 65 new species of slime mold beetle, these scientists did. And of those 65, three of them are Agathidium, Rumsfeldi, Miller, and Wheeler. Agathidium Cheney, Miller, and Wheeler. And finally, and most notably, and God knows most fittingly, Agathidium Bushy, Miller, and Wheeler. That's right, there are now named and identified three new species of slime mold beetle. Nasty little creepy crawly things that feast on slime. And these three slime mold beetles' names are Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld. According to Quentin Wheeler, former professor of entomology and plant biology at Cornell for 24 years until October, naming the beetles after Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld had nothing to do with physical features. No, of course not. He wasn't thinking physical features when he named three slime-eating beetles Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld. No, 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 of course not. That was just the cherry on top of the sundae. That's the irony god hard at work again. Because for God's sakes, if you had some slime mold beetles running around out there that didn't have a good, proper Christian name, what better good, proper Christian name to give some nasty little creepy crawly bugs that eat slime? What better names to give them than Rumsfeld and Cheney and Bush? Personally, I'm hoping now to find a report about the naming of maybe a new species of blood-sucking bat. That one we'll name after, Condoleezza Rice, or John Bolton, or John Negroponte. Yeah. there's nothing like getting something named after you. I wonder if they've told George Bush that he is now officially an eater of slime. Of course, maybe he's known that all along. All right, time for our top of the hour break. The phone number, of course, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I am non-slime-eating Bob Kincaid.
Head On. Welcome to Green and Growing, the Lawn and Garden Show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I thought I'd get a jump on my garden this year, so I've got my garden tools.
Wait, don't jump on your garden. Stomping isn't good for vegetables.
I meant that I'm ready to get a jump on digging.
Oh, in that case, why not skip digging altogether and use a tiller instead? With a walk-behind tiller, adjust the depth bar to just break the surface crust on the first go-round. Then set it for deeper tilling and move in an S pattern to keep the tiller from leaning to one side.
Well, how will I know when my bed is ready?
It should feel like chocolate cake. Crumbly. John Deere recommends mixing the soil to the maximum depth of the tiller without pulverizing the soil.
So this year I can skip digging and get a jump on my planting by using a tiller. Thanks for making my project a piece of cake. Tune in again to Bill Clutho to learn how to keep your garden green and growing.
For Sam Ulano, following his passion for music has been one of the keys to healthy aging. Speaking at a recent workshop, Ulano, a drummer who has 2,800 instruction books to his credit and has appeared on television with Steve Allen on The Tonight Show, says,
I'm going to be 84 in August. I'm still playing drums. I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and practice and teach people how to stay in shape. And one of the things I do every day is I lift weights, and a lot of people who know me know that it's one of my passions because it keeps the arms strong. To play this instrument, one has to be in physical shape. To play all instruments, saxophone, you got to have your wind column strength. I tell everybody, if you want to stay in good shape, you got to find a system in which you got to get up every day, find a way to keep your body strong.
This is Calvin Jackson of the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
Families in Florida prepare themselves for the hurricane season. Families in California prepare themselves for earthquakes. Every family in America should prepare itself for a terrorist attack.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, recorded by Secretary Tom Ridge. The topic, what you can do.
Not all Americans go to work every day in a department or a job that helps secure the country. We're not going to ask them to do that. We're going to ask them to do some simple things, like creating an emergency kit, a good communications plan. People might think it's insignificant, but if you take the time to develop that communication plan, to take that emergency supply kit, you will help prepare America. And ironically, it's still possible that something could happen.
Learn to be prepared at www.ready.gov or call for a free brochure, 1-800-BE-READY. That's 1-800-237-3239. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. Independent. It's Talk 620, WWNR. Beckley, it's 9 o'clock.
Did you know your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car? It's true. The good news is, you can help with Energy Star. The EPA urges you to take steps to reduce your home energy bills and make a big difference in the fight against air pollution. Visit EnergyStar.gov.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A few showers this evening with a mainly clear sky by early tomorrow. Thursday will start around 37 and cap off with a lot of sunshine at 59. Through tomorrow night, clear 39 and looking forward to close to 60, mainly sunny as we greet the weekend on Friday. And dry weather will persist under high pressure Saturday and Sunday.
He's got a brain. He's not afraid to use it. Of course, here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, the Wisconsin cat story was on the news again at the top of the hour. And another thought occurs to me. You know, some of these people want to go cat hunting because they say the cats are killing the songbirds. What cats do? They're hunters. House cats are, I had a friend who referred to them as household lions. And there's an element of truth in that. But rather than worry about the cats killing the songbirds, you know, once again, galloping political myopia has kicked in for some people, apparently. Why not worry about why there are declining numbers of songbirds that have nothing to do with being preyed upon by cats? Could it be that sprawl is taking away the places where the songbirds grew and bred in greater profusion? Could that be it?
No.
No, no. Nothing humankind would be doing could have anything to do with it, could it? No, it's the cat's fault. Blame the cat. Oh, the cat's eating it. Oh, brother. What passes for thought in something? Oh, and a quick update before we go back to the phones. There is a high degree of consternation among some members of the House of Delegates. They're calling for the governor to veto the We Hate People Who Don't Speak English bill. And Rick Staton has said that he was, and this is a quote, "I was specifically misled and in turn misled you." The funny thing is, we don't know if Joe Manchin will veto it, because back when he was a member of the West Virginia Senate, according to this article, he sponsored similar legislation. So maybe it's something he wanted to see happen. We don't know. U.S. English Inc. is a Washington, D.C. astroturf group that asked for the legislation. Now, you and me, oh, we need, I don't know, maybe we need a stoplight at the intersection there at Glen Jean, where so many people get killed. If we asked for legislation like that, I'm sure they didn't have time. But if some out-of-state group like U.S. English Inc. wants a bill, why, we're responsive, aren't we? Our legislature, Johnny on the spot. Interesting statistics in the article in today's Gazette. West Virginia, and I'm going to try to read this with a straight face, West Virginia already has the highest percentage of English-only speakers in the nation. Really? Do tell. Only 2.7% of the state's residents are able to speak a language other than English at home, according to the 2000 census. And what we're speaking is English? Gotcha. Now, the sponsor of the failed Senate bill says he's changed his mind about the legislation. Senator Larry Edgell is a Democrat from Wetzel County, and he says he took a trip this past winter to see his daughter in Tampa, Florida. And he visited the elementary school where she teaches and discovered that a third of her students were native Spanish speakers. And Senator Edgell now believes the legislation could treat such children unfairly. Of course it could, and it will. That's what it's designed for. It's a hate the people who aren't exactly like us bill. Now the question remains whether or not whether or not Joe Manchin will veto this hateful piece of garbage. Let's go to the phones. Jeff is with us and has been waiting a while. Hey, Jeff, you're head on. Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, you?
Fine. You can go to http://massgraves.info sort through 63 pages of pictures of mass graves that allegedly do not exist in Iraq, if you really want to know the proof about the truth about it.
Okie dokie. Are there any pictures of George Bush's mass graves, Jeff?
George Bush doesn't have any mass graves.
Oh, okay. So those 100,000 dead.
That's a phony number.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, and it's been disproven.
Sure it has. You're smarter than Johns Hopkins University. We believe that, Jeff. And of course, the half a million dead children from the sanctions. Those are phony numbers too, aren't they?
Saddam's responsible. Yeah, he didn't live up to the UN resolution.
Right, because we didn't put those sanctions on him, did we, Jeff?
The UN did.
Oh, okay, and we weren't part of the UN, were we? We didn't.
Iraq was part of the UN.
We didn't demand the sanctions, did we, Jeff?
Iraq's in the UN.
We didn't demand the sanctions, did we, Jeff?
Iraq's in the UN.
We didn't demand the sanctions, did we, Jeff?
No, the world.
No, we didn't. Yes, we did. You're wrong again.
The world did.
No, the world didn't. The United States led the drive for those sanctions.
What's the difference in the mass graves there and the ones that were in Bosnia?
What do you mean?
what's the difference in the Iraqi mass graves and the mass graves that are in Bosnia that Slobodan Milosevic?
Well, for starters, the mass graves in Iraq happened, right after we bailed out on the Shia. That's where the mass graves are, okay?
So he's got an excuse that time, too, huh?
Well, I mean, no, it's not an excuse. It's a simple fact, Jeff. We bailed out on people. We said, rise up, oh Shia, and be free and topple Saddam. And they said, gotcha, boss, and they took off, and we turned our back and ran away.
Okay, and the difference between them graves and the Slobodans?
We weren't directly responsible for Slobodan Milosevic's.
The size, too. The Saddams are many, many multitudes bigger than Slobodans.
You just keep believing that, Jeff.
I read the info on the Internet, man.
And if it's on the Internet, you believe it.
Why, if it's Palace or The Guardian, we believe it.
Because those are real journalists.
Yeah. The Guardian is the most leftist liberal paper in.
You know, Jeff, one of these days you're going to figure out that calling something leftist or liberal isn't a dirty word anymore. Because you and your right-wing freak pals are driving us down the primrose path to perdition, and, you know, it's nothing to be proud of.
Being a liberal?
No, being a right-wing conservative freak, that's nothing to be proud of.
Well,
I'm a proud liberal. You can call me a liberal all day, and I'm not going to get upset about it because it's a good way to be. It's the right way to be. It's the upright, decent, moral, Christian, upstanding way to be.
Well, the American
people... Jesus was a liberal.
...the way the majority of the people think, because election after election says that liberalism is not the way that mainstream America believes.
That's not necessarily true, Jeff, because... countless liberals and progressives were elected across the country in the past election cycle.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say countless.
Yes, stunning numbers of them.
In what bodies? Little state bodies or something?
State houses of representatives, governorships, mayoral elections.
In the Northeast?
No.
In California?
How about Montana, Jeff?
They might be a few in there, but is Montana's House of Delegates or equivalent and their state Senate controlled by Democrats or Republicans?
Not yet.
West Virginia's.
Not yet by Democrats. Not yet by progressives. You can't see that's another one of those icky little canards that your party likes to prey upon, that somehow Democrat means liberal. It doesn't. It doesn't.
But see, the Democrats embrace the liberals, and you kind of hang around with.
Right, and the Republicans embrace people who want to murder judges. Which one's worse, Jeff?
I don't hear anybody saying that.
Really?
You know, DeLay's the one that kind of said that. I don't know.
And Senator John Cornyn said that. And this guy addressing the Christian identity movement that Dr. Bill was talking about this afternoon.
Well, he's not an elected official. I don't care what he says.
Donald Wildman wants the judges bumped off. James Dobson wants the judges bumped off. You've got a real problem in your party, Jeff, and if I were you, I'd be ashamed to be part of it. But, you know, I guess, you deal with it. I don't have to worry about having a bunch of blood on my hands.
I wonder how many people... I think it's going to be the year 2010. Wonder how many people are going to remember to hold Billy Wayne Bailey accountable in the year 2010.
Is it 2010 or is it... No.
I think he ran in... He had to run in 04.
Yeah, so that means 08.
The senators are six-year terms.
Are you sure it's six?
West Virginia Senate?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to absolutely guarantee...
No, I think it's delegates are two and senators are four.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they were six.
So
either way, 8 or 10, how many of us are going to remember this?
How many
of us are going to actually vote for whoever's running against Billy Wayne Bailey?
Well, first of all, it depends on whether there's any primary opposition, and of course you can't participate in that.
And why? I think I can.
No, you can't. You can't vote. You can't if Billy Wayne has primary opposition, you can't.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant general election.
No, I said that's why that'd be a primary opposition. Hang in there, buddy. Get a drink.
I'll try.
It's okay. It depends on whether or not somebody runs against him in the primary.
I kind of doubt they will.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't. You know, there's no guarantee he'll run again.
Well, I tell you, I mean, it seems like with him, it's all about Billy Wayne Bailey.
Well, I don't know. I have not gotten an explanation for this hateful little racist bill yet, Jeff. I don't know what it is. I'd like to find out.
Like I said, that one day on Dr. Bill's show, he tried to tell me that the reason that auto insurance was more expensive in West Virginia than Virginia is because Virginia had more people than we did. And then he goes down there and votes for the third party bad faith. Well, I thought, he should have voted to get a bunch more people in here to get our insurance down. That's what he told me to Dr. Bill. He said that was why it was so high. Now he's down there voting to take away my right to sue on bad faith.
Yep,
and in the same conversation, he promised me and guaranteed me that he wouldn't vote for any legislation to reform workers' comp that took money out of the general revenue fund. And then he went down there and he done that.
And $45 million.
Huh?
And that $45 million a year.
Which adds up to $1.35 billion.
Yeah, I'm not pleased. And you know, Jeff, I'm not gonna hide. I mean, when I see something that's wrong, I say it's wrong. And those are two or three instances of being bad wrong. We gotta get out of here and get a commercial.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. All right. Well, your thoughts, if you want to. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payments?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Lakers Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes! 40 miles per gallon!
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck in the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota. Visit www.toyota.com. Detail and 430.
It's time for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. It happens April 18th through the 22nd at the YMCA from 7:30 to 5:30 every day. Just bring your swimsuits, towels, and a packed lunch for $3 for lunch. There will be swimming, movies, outings, and most of all, fun. Call 252-0715 for more information. That's 252-0715 for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. And remember, summer's just around the corner. The YMCA Summer Day Camp is a safe, fun, and exciting way for your child to spend the summer. You can sign up now at the Y.
Hi, I'm Ted Danson. Picture a place where everyone knows your name. There are Shriners Hospitals for Children. All kids are treated like family. Shriners are recognized as one of the world's best hospital systems for orthopedic and burn medicine, as well as their leading-edge research and teaching programs. And their care is provided totally free of charge. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 21 minutes after 9 o'clock. An email in from Kelly. We always enjoy hearing from Kelly. Pretty trenchant observations. Asking, didn't a similar attitude toward cats slow Europe's ability to stave off the Black Plague? Yes. At the same time that the church was running around killing cats for being demons, fleas were carrying the Black Plague microbe from infected rats to people. So, you know, bumping off the cats served to... It certainly was a big help to the rat population. And Cherie made that observation earlier. Which do you want? More rats or more cats? I'll take the cats. Nature. And you get into that spiral of that miserable spot. Well, you know, the Hawaiians dealt with it. Hawaii had no snakes. Snakes got into Hawaii, snakes began to be a problem. So they brought in mongooses. Mongooses. They brought in mongooses to deal with the snakes, but then there was nothing to deal with the proliferation of the mongooses. We don't learn, do we? We simply do not learn. Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate it. And David writes in, says, so Bob, let me get this straight. Now, for whatever bag of twisted reasons here in Republican mandate land, the Bolsheviks want to see the Supreme Court laid low, right?
Right.
Wasn't that long ago the Bolsheviks just plain old adored the court when they were illegally appointed W president. I know. I don't know how you can be a Republican. Pulled in so many different directions, you know, you got to worship the Jesus freaks, you know, the killer Jesus freaks, not the real followers of Yeshua, the Palestinian carpenter, the fake ones. You got to worship them. Then you got to turn around and you got to worship corporate America. And then you got to turn around and declare that the court that America needs more Republican judges. But then you look up and realize it was Republican judges that decided the Terri Schiavo case. It was a Republican circuit judge, Republican appointed judges on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals took a powder on it, and a Republican appointee, a Reagan appointee no less, who could have issued immediately a temporary injunction, refused to do so. I think if I was a Republican and I was having to deal with all of this, I don't know. I have this mental vision. You remember the Martians in Mars Attacks? Remember those guys? And they're running amok all over the world until someone plays them Slim Whitman music. And then their heads just explode. All of these hypocritical conflicts, if you're a really diehard Republican, all these hypocritical conflicts must be a little bit for Republicans like those Martian monsters listening to Slim Whitman music. Just make your head explode. You know, you gotta hate communism unless it's a matter of doing business with Vietnam and China. But you can't stand Cuba. Yeah, and there's that one, too. We talked about that last week. I mentioned seeing a little bit of the debate about the TV Marti funding. That's right. The Party of Fiscal Responsibility, the Republicans, have given us, or want to give us, another $20 million boondoggle to continue TV Marti, a television signal that no one in Cuba sees. And they want to broadcast, they've broadcasted it from blimps. They called the blimp Fat Albert. They've broadcasted it from airplanes. I don't care what they broadcast it from, nobody sees it. But they voted to appropriate, the Senate Republicans, voted to appropriate $20 million for it the other day. Wow. Thank God they're fiscally responsible. You know, what's on TV Marti anyway? Hey, commies! Aren't you ashamed of yourself having a lower infant mortality rate than us good, godly Americans? Shame on you! You need more dead babies! This is TV Marti. Is that what we're doing? Hey, commies! Aren't you ashamed of yourself? You Cubans have a higher literacy rate than the United States of America does. We're good capitalists. Come on, sit down, watch Fear Factor, and get stupid like us. That it astonishes me. I don't know what's on TV Marti. For all I know, it's a steady diet of da 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 da. Está Leave It to Beaver con Tony Dow y Jerry Mathers como el Beaver. I would not trust Honest to God, I would not trust a Republican with a handful of crap at a pie-eating contest.
God.
Como el biber. Let's take our break. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Fayette County man will spend 2 to 10 years in prison for running a meth lab. Hugh Rexroad of Charlton Heights pleaded guilty March 9th to running a clandestine lab from his father's home in Charlton Heights. Rexroad was also fined $1,200 and charged with court costs and was ordered to pay for any costs that law enforcement agencies have incurred in cleaning up chemicals from the meth operation. A new business in Oak Hill gives pet owners another option in what to do with their deceased animals. Mountain View Pet Crematory opened Tuesday. It offers a wide range of cremation options and tasteful urns. Rick James and his wife, Elizabeth Moreau, started the business after Moreau's pet, Ian Yu, died, and she decided to have it cremated. They say more pet owners are choosing the option of cremation, which has many benefits over traditional pet burial and other options. A Mercer County man charged with first-degree murder will await trial on home confinement. James Constantino of Athens is charged in connection with the shooting death of Pat Broman, also of Athens. Broman was found dead at Constantino's Unity Road home on April 3rd. On Tuesday, Circuit Judge Derek Swope granted Constantino a $100,000 bond on condition he immediately begin medical treatment in a Morgantown hospital. A lawyer for one of the men accused in the November 2002 kidnapping and death of 19-year-old Marsha student Samantha Burns says his client is not a murderer. John Bloom represents West Hamlin native Chadrick Folks, and he says Folks is not actually the person who killed Burns, and South Carolina residents, or rather resident Alice Donovan. Folks and his co-defendant Brandon Basham have been sentenced to death in South Carolina for Donovan's murder. And federal prosecutors in West Virginia also plan to seek the death penalty for the murder of Samantha Burns. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Cloudy and chilly, temperatures mid-40s. Tonight a slight chance of showers early, then gradually clearing tonight and cooler with a low near 38. Tomorrow sunny, high 56, clear tomorrow night, low 35. Then for Friday, sunny with a high near 56. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Certain events are beyond your control, and you need to have some sort of plan in place with respect to your family members.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, recorded by Lai Sun Yi, New York City Office of Emergency Management. The topic, planning for emergencies.
I would say one of the most important things is to have some sort of communication plan in place, so at least for your own peace of mind, you know that you're going to be able to contact your family. Also that you have enough water and food in your home in case you have to stay there for a while. We just want to have people know that there are things they can do to help themselves, to help their family members, to help their neighbors in event something happens. And the important thing is to use common sense to remain calm.
Learn to be prepared at www.ready.gov or call for a free brochure, 1-800-BE-READY. That's 1-800-237-3239. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
While power tools have grown in popularity, many projects still require traditional handwork. Hi, I'm James.
And I'm Morris.
And we're the Carey Brothers with the On the House Tip of the Day.
Today you'll learn some true grit, simple tips for hand sanding, correct and quick, right after this.
What's the best way to build a new deck or replace an old one?
Deckmaster, the hidden deck fastening system that holds your deck in place from below the deck board.
With Deckmaster, there are no streaks or stains, no hammer dents or nasty pop-up nails to cut little feet. Ouch!
Deckmaster helps extend deck life by preventing wood rot caused by water that seeps in through holes created by nails and screws.
And Deckmaster is guaranteed for 25 years.
Don't even think about building or replacing any deck without Deckmaster. Visit Deckmaster at Deckmaster.com for a dealer near you.
While power tools have grown in popularity, many projects still require traditional handwork. Today you'll learn some true grit, simple tips for hand sanding correct and quick. Like these. Sanding means scraping away surface material
to smooth or reshape your project.
First, bear in mind that sandpaper gets finer as grit numbers get larger. And proper form calls for starting with the right grade of coarseness and moving up through two levels of finer grit
to quickly and effectively achieve the desired finish.
So, what are the right grades?
Too coarse is damaging and too fine is ineffective.
Here are the most common grit progressions
pros use for much of their work.
80, 120, and 220. Or 100, 150, and 220.
With the first getting things done a little bit faster and rougher.
Using a sanding block is also the mark of a pro.
It requires less effort and offers better results.
Hand sanding is an art form worth mastering.
And its power lies in its wonderful finishability.
For more tips, visit our website at onthehouse.com.
Listen, man, adding flat cheese is no big deal.
No?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
We were there in times of war.
Today marks the anniversary of the end of the Korean War.
We were there in times of peace.
Wildfires in California are now under control.
For more than 50 years, the Air Force Reserve has been defending freedom around the world and protecting people and property here at home.
And in the war on terror, soldiers were
We are the Air Force Reserve. Call 800-257-1212 or visit AFReserve.com. Air Force Reserve, above and beyond.
Hey, Dad.
What?
Can you get the ketchup bottle open?
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters. Put away the gym balls. Empty out our desks. Scrape our names off the lockers. Pull our drawings off the walls. Put it all in the garbage. Throw it away. Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Yes, I am. About 23 and a half minutes before 10 o'clock, 23 minutes left in tonight's prayer meeting edition of Head On to get your licks in if you want to, or bring something to my attention that I've thus far missed. A couple more things banging around out there. You know, you heard me some several months ago declare rightly, correctly, that we've, you know, we've already lost the war in Iraq. Well, how about a little verification on that? This from the not exactly raving liberal, because remember, that's a dirty word, liberal. No, bloodthirsty, baby-killing Republican. That's much dirtier for me. I don't know about you. The Financial Times of London, about as conservative as you can get. Dr. Ian Rutledge wrote a column that was published April 11th. And he says, "Sir," I guess he's writing to the editor, "your recent report that oil prices have reached an all-time nominal high and that Goldman Sachs has suggested the possibility of a super spike in prices to as high as $105 per barrel should be of no surprise to anyone who has studied the informed opinions of U.S. energy experts in the period leading up to the invasion of Iraq. Nor, for that matter, to anyone who has seen my own observations on future world oil prices in my recent book, Addicted to Oil." Look, he described... He understands. Dr. Ian Rutledge does. He understands. How many times have we talked about our fossil fuel addiction? It has all the same hallmarks as a drug addiction. But anyway, Dr. Ian Rutledge notes, "In a crucial report to President George W. Bush by the U.S. Council on Foreign Relations in April 2001, the president was warned that," and this is a quote, "as the 21st century opens, the energy sector is in a critical condition. A crisis could erupt at any time. The world is currently close to utilizing all of its available global oil production capacity, raising the chances of an oil supply crisis with more substantial consequences than seen in decades. With U.S. oil consumption in 2001 at an all-time high, 19.7 million barrels per day, import penetration at 53%, and dependence on Arabian Gulf oil also at an all-time record, 14.1% of total U.S. domestic and foreign supplies, the council stated it was absolutely imperative that, quote, political factors do not block the development of new oil fields in the Gulf, unquote, and that, quote, the Department of State, together with the National Security Council, should develop a strategic plan to encourage reopening to foreign investment in the important states of the Middle East." Dr. Rutledge goes on, "While the council argued that there is no question that this investment is vitally important to U.S. interests, it also acknowledged that there is strong opposition to any such opening among key segments of the Saudi and Kuwaiti populations. However, there was an alternative. In the words of ESA Inc. of Boston, the U.S.'s leading energy security analysts, one of the best things for our supply security would be to liberate Iraq. Words echoed by William Kristol, the Republican Party ideologist, or as we like to say here, idiotologist, in testimony to the House Subcommittee on the Middle East on May 22, 2002, that as far as oil is concerned, Iraq is more important than Saudi Arabia. Now, it wasn't about the oil, though, was it? No, it had nothing to do with the oil. And George Bush doesn't have any rape rooms either. So when, according to the former head of ExxonMobil's Gulf operations, quote, Iraqi exiles approached us saying, you can have our oil if we can get back in there, unquote, the Bush administration decided to use its overwhelming military might to create a pliant and dependable oil protectorate in the Middle East and achieve that essential opening of the Gulf oil fields. But in the words of another U.S. oil company executive, quote, it all turned out a lot more complicated than anyone had expected, unquote. Instead of the anticipated post-invasion rapid expansion of Iraqi production, an expectation of an additional 2 million barrels per day entering the world market by now, the continuing violence of the insurgency has prevented Iraqi exports from even recovering to pre-invasion levels. In short, listen up. This is validation, if you will. In short, the U.S. appears to have fought a war for oil in the Middle East and lost it. The consequences of that defeat are now plain for all to see. So there's another one of those stupid conservative Republican canards we can put to bed, huh? And you've heard it. You've heard it from the savage wiener. You've heard it from Flush Flimball, America's favorite oxymoron. You've heard it from O'Reilly, Buzzer Boy, Falafel Man. You've heard it from that cretin, simpleton Hannity. Hannity Man. You've heard it a dozen times. Well, if there was a war for oil, why aren't oil prices cheaper, huh? Tell me that, Mr. Smarty Pants Liberal. Pay close attention, cons. Because George Bush, true to form, doing just as he has done with everything else he has ever attempted in his life, screwed up! He screwed it up! I mean, we're talking about a man who could screw up a one-car funeral, all right? Just like Arbusto Energy, just like Spectrum 7, just like Harkin, he screwed up. Just like his Texas Air National Guard experience, he screwed up. Just like his attempt to raise children, he screwed up. Just like when he sat around at in his MBA classes in Harvard and said, Social Security is communism. He screwed up. Just like the United States economy that he said was running too fast, we need a tax cut to cool the economy off, he screwed up. Just like the U.S. economy, he said, it's in recession, we need a tax cut to get a break from the recession, he screwed up. He is a perpetual screw-up. Just like when he was sitting there on vacation talking to the cows or whatever, and they brought him that presidential daily briefing dated August 6th entitled, Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. And he ignored it. And we lost some 3,000 people. When the Twin Towers came down, he screwed up. This guy is the biggest, most miserable walking blunder on the face of planet Earth. What was the cartoon where like Pebbles and Bam Bam were grown up and they had the one miserable guy who walked around? It's Schleprock. We elected Schleprock. You did. I didn't. Some of you did. A lot of us decent people didn't. Elected Schleprock to a second term at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And he screwed up. And he persists in screwing up. I mean, he screws up a bicycle ride. He gets on a Segway that has a gyroscope for artificial balancing and falls off of it. He screwed that up. He tried to eat a pretzel and screwed up. What a loser. It goes on and on and on. Push through a Medicare prescription drug benefit. Screwed up. Supported that bill of attainder, that ex post facto law on Terry Schiavo, and screwed up. You know, pick a few of your own. I'm sure I've missed some. If he did it, it was screwed up. You know that what I speak in facts. He is a screw-up. He lives that old military acronym, SNAFU. He is President Fubar. Fouled up beyond all recognition. situation normal, all fouled up. He can't do anything right. President Fubar can't. And there it is, Dr. Ian Rutledge saying for all to see, we thought we were going to steal us some oil, and we screwed up. We lost the war. The war is lost. Now, we can get out now, we can get out tomorrow, we can get out 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years from now, but whenever we do, the war will be lost. And just like a screw up, like a fool, he insists on not only, this is bad enough, throwing good money after bad, but continuing to throw the flower of America's youth into that meat grinder. That's criminal. He's a criminal. And yeah, you can sit there and say things like, well, that 100,000 number, them 100,000 civilians, that's not real. Okay, fine, 50,000. Well, that's not real. Okay, 25,000. Well, that's not real. 12.5. That's not real. 6,000. That's not real. How many civilian casualties are acceptable to you? At what point do you play the little Stalin game and say, two dead people, well, that's a shame. 2 million dead people, that's a statistic. Huh? That's just a statistic. That's being un-American about our collateral damage. But you see, the study was done by Johns Hopkins University. The study was done and vetted and examined to the nth degree by real live scientists, not these faith-based morons. And they said it's a conservative number that we have killed 100,000 non-combatant Iraqis with our JDAMs and our fancy bombs and our low-flying, ground-skimming Tomahawk cruise missiles. Thousands came out. What, last Saturday was it? To demand the U.S. get out of Iraq. They protested in Baghdad. We ain't going anywhere, sunshine. Jack is with us. Hey, Jack, you're head on. Hey, Jack.
I want to make sure I'm on here. Yes, he screwed up. He screwed up big time.
Yep.
Small businesses. I think about all these small businesses. Where in the name of God are you going to get something from anymore? With all the men losing their jobs and everything, he's doing a real wonderful job. I don't know where my vote went. People I talked to, I've seen talk to a pretty good bit of people, and they feel the same way I do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this country going, buddy?
Yeah, well, right now.
And he mentioned history. Yes, he's going to mention history. He'll go down in history for some other country, not this one.
Well, he'll go down in history here, too, but the day will come, Jack, when little children will spit on the ground at the mention of his name.
Well, when you mention about stuff, it's just so sad that that's one, people are just swimming right now. You're talking about that little lady start off your program.
Yeah.
That I heard you talk about, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
You can't get down the block 3 or 4 miles, she'll be out of money. She couldn't afford to go nowhere.
Right. We're on the fast track down the toilet right now, Jack. Now, we have some hope in 2006 if we can get Congress back and get some sense going.
Well, I don't know who Congress is. That's what the problem is in this country. There's too many crossovers. They'll run for a Democratic Party, and they'll cross over, so what good are they?
Well, it's kind of sneaky, isn't it?
Well, I watched the president's debates when they was running for office and that, and my God, Alden's dead. And that man, people, when I get on this radio, people say, oh, boy, there's Jack again. Well, I feel the same way when Bush gets on make his speech. Where's his words going to come from?
Well, in his case, they're certainly not coming from his brain. Maybe they're coming from the transmitter that Karl Rove is...
I'd have to say they are. He can't even remember his lines. I'm sorry, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
That's all right. Thanks, Jack. Yeah, he can't remember his lines. That's why you get beautiful little things like, I went to the Bureau of the Public Debt, and I saw those IOUs. That's all they was. It was worthless IOUs. And the entire world said, oh, my God. He just said the Treasury bills are worthless IOUs. What do you do with that? You know, standing there, what was it, in Nashville? Now, we got a saying down in Texas. You might even say it here in Tennessee. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, fool me twice, won't get fooled again. Help me figure out the little neuron connection that, I mean, he's thinking about fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Which he probably heard on Gomer Pyle 20 or 30 years ago. First place I ever heard it. And he conflates that, you know, through the cocaine and booze and marijuana years. He conflates that with a Who song. How does that happen? Well, it happens when you... Well, what's that, the line from the great Don Williams song, Good Old Boys Like Me? Ran with a kid down the block, and I watched him burn himself up on bourbon and speed. Don Williams was apparently running with young George Bush. Because George did like his bourbon. I'm astonished. And the fact that there are still people out, he's a good man. He's such a good man. He's a Christian. No, he's not. You know that. I know that. You know darn good and well, if Jesus popped up in the middle of the White House right now, he'd be treated like that little Chinese dude was a couple of days ago. Can you just see? I mean, you've seen the video footage of it. You know, he's standing there, he's got his hands behind his back, he's making no motions. And these big, big, burly SWAT guys tackle him like a dummy full of sawdust. That's what they'd do to Jesus if he appeared in the White House. Sir, I think we've got some of them Palestinian ninjas. Take him down. But wait, I am Jesus.
We got a crazy guy says he's Jesus.
He's dangerous. Get him away from here.
Blessed are the meek.
Mr. President, I think we killed Jesus.
Well, maybe he can come back again sometime.
You know that's how they are. I tell you what. Let's get together and do it again tomorrow night. The show, of course, tonight produced by the intrepid apprentice, Jesse Fulmer. Engineered by Randy Kerbway. Announced at least in part by Brian Reznor. Brought to you, as ever, by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show, of course, archived every night at whiterosesociety.org, and we appreciate Ben Birch's efforts in that regard. These guys, these are the drive-by truckers. Love it. I'm out of here. I'm Bob.